Welcome to Voice Power, the podcast all about bringing the power of voice for your business or personal needs. You will hear how voice increases your positivity and creates amazing opportunities. Your host, Earl Thomas, The Voice, will share his vast experience on today's episode. Thanks for tuning in, subscribing, and writing a review wherever you receive your podcast.
Welcome to Voice Power, Season 3, Episode 6. Following up on my previous podcast on sleep, my special guest today is Mary Malkin, a certified clinical hypnotherapist, certified wellness coach, and emotion code practitioner from Vancouver, BC. Mary takes a holistic approach to strengthen the mind-body connection, where a better understanding of our patterns, behavior, and processes starts. She integrates a combination of therapeutic modalities, including hypnotherapy, professional coaching, and emotion code. This empowers her clients to unlock their potential and experience emotional freedom, improving wellness in many areas of their lives. Mary creates relief and results for her clients in the areas of anxiety, sleep issues, and chronic pain. Her avid learning and seeking best practices via studies, data, new approaches, and the science behind human behavior and transformation makes Mary Malkin a sleep expert and in all her related fields of expertise. Today she will share tips and information on how to manage anxiety, improve sleep, and create a sense of freedom in mind and body. It is with great pleasure I welcome Mary Malkin to Voice Power. Welcome, Mary. How are you doing today?
Hi, Earl. I'm very well. How are you?
Very good. How's your day going and are you sleeping well?
I'm sleeping fantastically well, yes.
Great. Now at Voice Power, we're discovering many diverse interviewees have many talents and are using their voice in many positive ways. You have an expertise in successful sleep. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to share your experience. Seeing your LinkedIn, you've been helping and encouraging others for quite a few years. What do you enjoy the most in helping others?
Really enjoy the transformation that is happening, that takes place after one can realize their own inner resources, their own abilities and capabilities, is able to change the mindset, the way they think, and of course, the sleep or chronic pain or, you know, anxiety or anything that they want to change.
Thinking is really key, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know that if I've got something on my mind before I go to bed and I really focus on it, and then I'll think about something else, oh, I'm not getting to sleep. You know, I become the problem. But we're going to delve into that. Now, for almost 5 years, you were involved in business analysis and environment planning. Tell us your fulfillment and what you did and accomplished.
So again, I think it was the, you know, me communicating and connecting with other people. And this is what I loved about everything that I do, is the connection that you create with others. And same here, it's the connection, right? It's connection that leading to transformation, connection that leading to even deeper connection and understanding of the processes.
Now, as a sleep coach, how do you help a client go from poor, unrestful sleep to regular, peaceful sleep?
So I'm using coaching, but I'm also using hypnosis. And hypnosis, it's a wonderful state. And you can train yourself to relax in hypnosis. When you can relax, when you can get to a state of deep relaxation and rest in your body and in your mind, it's then easy to shift from being restful and rested and relaxed to sleep. And as you said before, it's the mind that is going on, the thought that we're having and preventing us from going to sleep, which in most cases, this is what we're dealing with.
Well, that's wonderful, because You must have really a good mind because you just answered my next question before I asked it. So that was good. Like, how does the person's mind affect their sleep? Now, how do you use hypnosis to help clients achieve peaceful sleep?
So hypnosis is a state of heightened alert or attention, meaning that you are focusing your attention on the issue in hand. So if the issue is sleep, what we want to create actually is, as I said before, deep relaxation, deep restfulness. And then with hypnosis, which allows us to tap into our inner resources, you can create it. You can notice how you create a relaxation in your pinky, and then this relaxation along the body, you can create relaxation in your eyes. You can train your mind to think about positive thoughts rather than all your to-do list that might running in your mind before you are going to bed or as you're already in bed. So hypnosis is really is a fantastic tool to use to tap into our inner resources and allowing us to shift the way we think and create something that is desired, that is needed.
Now, is it the same thing as, I know that most people, sometimes their foot will go to sleep, and most people don't like that, but I like it because I like it because it, I won't walk on it, of course, but I like the feeling that it's waking up. Is that anything to do with that?
Depends. You know, people who are coming to see me, most of them have anxiety, sleep anxiety. And we don't know what started first, the anxiety or the sleep issue. But what we see is, you know, both of them are there. And sometimes it's because of, you know, deep pain or deep sadness. For them, it's first to relieve the anxiety. And then when they are able to fall asleep, then they are very happy to wake up and feel energized and refreshed and centered and calm and grounded.
Now, would you share a client's experience of gaining freedom in their mind and relaxation in their mind so they get really good sleep?
So I have one that I, you know, is coming up to my mind because it was at the beginning, I thought, this is a very interesting situation. He had a toddler and a newborn baby, and he developed anxiety just by going into bed. He wasn't even sleeping in his own house. He had to go and sleep somewhere else every night because of the anxiety that's coming up at night, knowing that he's going to go into his bed. And so for him, the first step was to create this, you know, joy feeling, a happy feeling to connect with his bed. It wasn't anything to do with sleep at the beginning. It was just the how you can connect with something that creates anxiety. You know, it was done pretty quickly, actually, but it was a journey. But within 4 sessions, we were done and he could, of course, before that, he got back to his house and sleeping in his house. But I think the issue was creating this comfort and safe feeling around his bed.
Well, that's amazing. 4 sessions. How long is the session?
My sessions are long. They are 2 hours.
So it could be eight hours total.
Yes. Yeah, but 8 hours, you know, framed in only 3 weeks. Right from start to finish.
What is the emotion code?
Emotion code is something that I noticed. I had a very good success as a client with it, and I thought this can be a really good fit to my practice. And this is why I did it. Basically, what it is, allowing me either to practice on myself, but when I practice on other, what's happening is that we are connecting to one another energetically, and then I'm talking to your subconscious to identify trapped emotions, meaning emotions that you did like that happened during any type of events, but you didn't process them completely and they got trapped into your body. And after we identify those emotions, we can release them. And imagine that you are driving on a highway and you're getting out of your house, getting into the car, start driving, and the drive is very smoothly. And then you get into a traffic jam and you don't know when you're going to keep on driving because you're just there stuck. And after a while, the traffic jam is, you know, is freeing up and you can drive again. And then again, you're driving, and again, you're getting into another traffic jam. So imagine those trapped emotions are like the traffic jams that are stopping us from getting from point A to point B in the most efficient and easy and quick way. And once we release those emotions, you can just drive and get from where you are to where you want to be quickly and safely.
I can see why you're effective, because you take something complex and you give it simple, easy example of a traffic jam, because we've all in those. What I'd like to know is, tell us some of the tips that work best for managing anxiety, improving sleep, and creating mind and body freedom. You must have a few tips, I would think.
Of course. So let's start with anxiety. And again, I'll try to make it very simple, like I did with the traffic jam. So we have two systems. We have fight or flight and rest and digest. And we want to create a healthy balance between them. You want to be alert when there is a danger. You want to be able to rest when you can. So breathing is basically bridging between them. Meaning, every time we inhale, our heartbeat is going higher and higher. Every time we exhale, we lowering the heartbeat. So what we want to create is basically long and deep inhale, but slower and longer exhale. Again, to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest, and to create a different balance between the fight or flight and the rest and digest. Doing it a few times during the day will allow you to create a different balance, because most of us don't breathe. We just, of course we do, but we are doing it very shallow breathing. So if you are already changing the way you breathe, and you don't need to do it all the time, but, you know, being aware of doing it for maybe 10 times or 20 times during the day, you're already creating a different balance, meaning that you are not activating your fight or flight all the time, all the time, all the time. By doing that alone, you are lowering your anxiety level. Another thing for, let's say, for sleep, of course, breathing is good, but also many people are going to sleep having lots of thoughts and to-do lists and negative thoughts. And this is very understandable because, you know, you have nothing else to do at night. It's the environment is quiet. It's dark. It's time for you to just lie down and not do much. And all the thoughts are just floating up to the surface. So one of the very effective thing is to have a pen and paper and to do a brain dump. Basically, you write down all your thoughts and clear your brain from any thought that you have. This is on a practical level that you can do every night. Another thing to do for both anxiety and for sleep is to start notice anything positive that you see along the way, paying more attention to it. Why? Because it's almost like putting a compass to your brain or your mind, telling your mind, this is the direction where I want to go. This is what I want to pay attention to. All those positive things. It can be very, you know, something very small, like beautiful flower that you see and you just stand there and look at it and enjoy the colors, enjoy maybe the scent, if you are willing to go closer and smell it. Any kind of interaction between people that you can see, anything, and just be more aware of that.
Yeah, and I do something because long ago, I did the 21-day gratitude challenge. And now, at the end of the day, I'll pick three people, meditation and my focus. And then a little bit later in that meditation, I'll visualize something that I want to happen, like a voiceover. different things. The mind is so powerful. It thinks many, many thoughts in a day. I've just learned a lot about the brain because I took a brain detox program, a 21-day brain detox program. But it's important what we think. And this is why you're here, because you've got a lot of positivity. And I like to add great content for my listeners so that their life can be better. It's not always about voiceovers, but I've did the previous podcast and sharing about my sleep experience, going to Shaughnessy Hospital, going for some sleep analysis and everything. And I think you'll probably find that podcast very interesting. And you were the promise of the sleep expert, Mary Malkin. I've noticed that when I have Toastmasters the next morning, and we have it on Saturday mornings at 8:30, so I get up fairly early. It's twice a month. Now, I sleep really well. I have pretty good dreams. But when it's that Friday night, I don't get as good a sleep. I'll wake up. You know, sometimes maybe I'll sleep better if I don't have any position that I have to do in the agenda. I mean, it's improved over time, but do you have any idea why that might be?
Yeah. And this happens not only to you, but for everyone who has any event coming up the next day. Athletes, for example, when they, before any competition, they have it, they experience it. Anything that have like a presentation or a big day, or, you know, because we feel excitement in our body, in our mind, right? We think about it. We want to do whatever we can to be successful at that, to deliver it, whether it's any sports competition or, you know, lifetime event or Toastmasters. Yes, this is something that is very important because it happens more than once in lifetime. And what we can do is to rehearse a good sleep before the night of Toastmasters. What do I mean? You imagine you are meditating, as you said. So you take a moment in your meditation to dedicate to how can you visualize your night. You set an intention for a good night's sleep in your meditation. And you imagine that you did everything that you need to do in order to make the Toastmaster meeting successful. And your notes or anything that you are going to take there, everything is ready for you for the next morning. Maybe you already know what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat before you go. You have the car key ready for you. You have already decided on what you're going to wear. So you make your life very simple before that. So there is no surprises in that sense. Sometimes, yes, there are. But, you know, you try to minimize any surprises, any decision making before the event. And then when you go to bed at night, your mind finds it, oh, it's familiar. I already did it. And why is that? Because the mind does not distinguish between reality and imagination if you use your imagination in a very specific way, involving your senses, knowing what the steps and so on. And you already rehearsed it. It already happened in your rehearsal that your mind thinks, oh, it was done in reality. And when you go to bed, it's more successful.
Oh, that's beautiful, because I'm learning something here, because I do a lot of visualization and I never thought of visualizing a good sleep. You know, the funny thing is, when I wake up, there's no noise. It's a quiet place here. What? My body's waking up. It's just crazy, you know? But I've noticed I've been able to get back to sleep. Now,
and I think this is the important thing, to know whether or not you feel like you can go back to sleep. Because we all waking up during the night. Whether you feel it or you don't feel it, we're waking up. At the end of each sleep cycle, you wake up. It might be micro awakening, but you wake up. You know, like a baby, after 1.5 hours, they wake up. For babies, shorter. But for us, about 1.5 hours, we wake up. And it's about the ease of drifting back into sleep.
Oh, so it's normal to wake up 3 times, yes. Maybe? Does it ever happen where you sleep right through the, I mean, if you're really bone tired?
So yes, you feel like you sleep through the night, but you still, after every sleep cycle, you still wake up. Again, it can be for a second that you open your eyes, you close your eyes, you turn, and you sleep and you fall asleep again. You do wake up after each sleep cycle.
Now, there's somebody listening right now who's really discouraged about their sleep, and you've already given us a lot of good information. But if you're having a conversation with them, what would you say?
So it pretty much depends why they're discouraged, in the sense of whether they can't fall asleep, or they wake up and they can't fall back asleep, or maybe they wake up in the morning and that's it. They don't go back to sleep at all. If they can't fall asleep and it's because of anxiety or any anxious thoughts or pattern, then we are talking about anxiety now. If it's about how they need like the time of night when they when their body is supposed to go to sleep, it means chronotype. We each have maybe the same, but there are different chronotypes, meaning the time when it's the best for you to fall asleep. And because the way we work now, like 9 to 5, some don't find it incoherent with a chronotype. So some people need to go to sleep at 2 in the morning, but then they still need to wake up and be ready at work at 9 a.m. So for them, 9 to 5 does not work. So maybe this is why they can't fall asleep. For others, it can be because of anxiety. For others, it can be because of stress. They are really stressed. They fall asleep because of, you know, they have sleep pressure. But then after 3 hours, if you are familiar with the 3 a.m. Club, those who wake up at 3 a.m. and can't fall back asleep, or 4 a.m., then, you know, they fall because they create lots of sleep pressure. They are very tired. But then after a few hours, all the melatonin, adenosine are washed out of their system. They don't have the sleep pressure anymore. And they wake up because their nervous system is so wired and they just can't fall back asleep. So for them, it will be about working on balancing their nervous system, relaxing their nervous system during the day. We're doing everything during the day in order for them to sleep well at night.
In your fertility coaching, what is an optimized mind-body environment?
The mind and body, our mind and body always work together in harmony. Sometimes the harmony is not the one that we want, but what we are looking for is, imagine that you are talking to someone and this person really listens to you and gets you. And you feel comfortable talking to them because they really listen and get what you're saying, and they have an understanding and they want to get to know you. They want to hear more from you. And it feels good. And this is basically what we want from mind and body harmony. We want the mind to direct the body in the way that the body can listen, can react in the same manner. So, you know, when we see overweight, this is disharmony of mind and body. When we are looking at unexplained infertility, so the body is okay, but still it's unexplained and still no pregnancy. This is disharmony. And we want to create something that is more loving, more compassion, more accepting towards the body. My body, I want to push it away. I want something to change. Think how you use your mind. What language do you talk to yourself? How do you talk to yourself? What words do you use to talk to yourself? Because if someone will talk to you, or someone will talk to me the way I used to talk to myself, I wouldn't want to be with them. But yeah, I wouldn't want to stay, you know, to listen to what they say. So we need to basically tune the way and change the way we talk to ourselves and our body, and to ask the right questions. So again, if someone, and it's easy to give it on overweight and not disrespect to anything, but when someone is opening the fridge 10 times a day, they are not always hungry. And the question is, what do they need? Do they need someone to care for them? Do they need someone to listen to them? Are they bored? Are they angry? Are they frustrated? Do they feel lonely? What do they need? That they open the fridge and find the solution in food. Same with sleep. If someone doesn't fall asleep quickly enough and start talking to themselves in a way, in very insulting way, harsh way, they're just creating more and more aggravation rather than relaxation that allows them to fall asleep. And this is what I mean by mind and body harmony.
Yeah, I've got another personal situation for sleep. I've really got my clock really well set. You know, I go to bed pretty well at the same time and get up at the same time. Now, in July, I've got this special project. I'm going to be going to Seattle, and the train only goes at a certain time. You have to be there at 5:45 at Pacific Station. So I'm going to have to get up earlier. And usually when I go to bed earlier, I don't fall asleep. I'm just wondering, in your experience, have you dealt with somebody like that, trying to just change their inner clock for one night?
Yeah. So one night, it's like, you know, it's like jet lag. And if you just lowering the expectations and, you know, well, that night I might be not very energized, very focused, but it's only one night. It's like when you go from here to London, yes, there is jet lag. There is nothing you can do about it. And as you said, trying to go to bed earlier doesn't always resolve the situation because you can't fall asleep, especially when you create yourself, which is amazing, a sleep schedule. We always want to be on a sleep schedule, right? So what can you do? Otherwise, you can maybe meditate in the train and relax your mind, relax your body in the train. Maybe meditate and relax yourself before you go to sleep. And basically, lower the expectation.
Well, I was thinking once I get on the train, and that's actually the hardest part of the trip because, you know, you get there in plenty of time before the baseball game, and we leave in plenty of time after the baseball game. There's no rush there. I'll crash a little bit. You know, I'm gonna try that visualization of having a good sleep before I go to bed, and I'll work up to that for that time in July. If you have any final thoughts, or is there a question you wish I'd asked you?
I would like to say something about the way I walk. The thing is that we have on the internet, we can find very easily all the answers to what we can do to improve our sleep. You create yourself a sleep schedule. You are using light. You are having a bed night routine. You wake up the same morning every, you know, either weekday or weekends. So this is all known. But I think the part that is missing is the mental part. How can you create this state of mind that allows you to fall asleep easily? And this you do by lowering the expectation. Why? Because when we are very fixated on something and we want it so much, sometimes it's really hard to get to this place where we get it exactly as we want it. For people with anxiety about sleep, that they can't fall asleep, there is something called the cycle of dread. And what it means is that you go to bed, you are lying down, you're getting ready for sleep, and you don't fall asleep. At this point, you get either frustrated or anxious, depends what happens tomorrow, right? I can't fall asleep, so now I'm very anxious about not going to sleep, and maybe I'm frustrated about myself that I can't fall asleep. And what happens is that you're releasing more adrenaline. When this happens, you are becoming even more awake and you can't fall asleep and you get in even more aggravated and more adrenaline and you can't fall asleep again. And this can last for a number of hours until eventually you fall asleep out of exhaustion. So lowering the expectations is something that is so, so, so important. Maybe referring to sleep as deep rest rather than sleep. Maybe to try and relax the body and feel the relaxation in your body rather than forcing yourself to create a relaxation. Maybe to create some space in your mind for positivity, gratitude journal, brain dump, sometimes listening to guided meditation, to binaural beats that align your brainwave with sleep, to use all of this and still lowering the expectation even more. Say, okay, so I'm not sleeping anyways. And now when I'm not sleeping, if I talk to my body, to myself, in a very harsh way, will it do any good to me? No. So what's the alternative? Either accept it in a way that, okay, I can't talk to myself like this, or start accepting the situation by allowing yourself to relax more and more and more and more. And training is very important. Practicing.
I know that if I have a bad night of sleep, I have this thought that goes through my mind. Well, I know that the next night will be fine because I'll be tired and I will fall asleep. And because I sleep so well, sometimes I do this. I call it the 5 and 5. That's not what it was in the book. There was a part of the book written by Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. And he had this as what I created as my 5 and 5. I imagine all my concerns in a deep basin of water and lukewarm water so that I can put my hand in that water and pull a plug. At the same time, I say, with God's help, I'm emptying my mind of all anxiety, fear, and sense of insecurity. I say it 5 times. And usually I've got a yawn on the second time. Then when I've done that, say my mind is now emptied of all anxiety, fear, and sense of insecurity. And I tell myself that when I do this, I know I sleep well, but I'll even sleep deeper. And then I thank God for releasing me from fear. I don't do it every night. I just decide when I want to do it on any night. But, you know, I've really enjoyed our conversation on sleep. And
same here.
I'm relaxed. and you know, it's a great conversation. And I know that anyone who's listening is going to benefit if they're having trouble sleeping. So thanks for joining me today, Mary, at Voice Power.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into Voice Power and subscribing and writing a review wherever you receive your podcast. Voice Power is the podcast that keeps you informed on how voiceovers improve your business and personal life. Earl Thomas, The Voice, thanks you for joining him today. Have yourself a wonderful day, and we look forward to you joining us next time.